Hi, team.
Hi.
Hey, y'all.
Sup?
Hey.
You're listening to Radical Nourishment. My name is Natasha Monnathau. I'm an artist and narrative strategist with the Food Culture Collective, and I'm joined by a crew of emerging audio artists from all over the U.S.
I'm Dana Wedderburn.
I'm Alejandra Salazar.
I'm Shefali Patel.
I'm Nino McQuown.
These are the voices of our first inaugural cohort of Ears in the Field, a fellowship that we at Food Culture Collective convene to uplift stories of sovereignty and self-determination found in moments big and small. All season long on Radical Nourishment, the fellows and I are introducing you to some radically humane and creative voices working in various facets of food sovereignty. What do you have for us today, Nino?
I've got a profile of a really fantastic woman who's actually my colleague, Julia Lynn Walker. And Julia Lynn and I have worked together for 2 years as part of my day job. So she's one of a team of 12 Black food systems experts who created the Anti-Racist Farmers Market Toolkit. And I've gotten to help with admin support for that project, and that has just been a huge joy. So when I was driving home to Baltimore from a teaching gig in Ohio, I realized that on my way back, I could stop through Julia Lynn's hometown of Columbus, Ohio. And this was the first time that we've ever met in person, and I was really excited to get to meet her and get introduced to her community and to the work that she does in person. So she told me to meet her at her church, Bethany Presbyterian, and Julia Lynn and her parents have been members there all of their lives. And in front of us, there's a garden. There are long, flower-laden arms of hibiscus that are bowing in the mild wind of a Midwest July afternoon. There's a tangle of 4 o'clock spilling over fresh straw mulch around the feet of a sign, and it reads Bethany Bronzeville Community Garden.
So this is the Bethany Bronzeville Community Garden. Bethany for the church, Bronzeville for the community. Mm-hmm. We've got our beds. We got cabbages. The one back there is empty. I'm getting ready to put in some spinach, some cool crop things. We got our eggplant coming in. Plenty.
Bethany for the church, yes. Bronzeville for the community. Service and self-sovereignty, displacement and connection all flow down through the lifeways of this very special place. The garden before us is a verdant mix of native and non-native plant varieties and of permacultural and rotational techniques. It reflects Julia Lynn Walker's training, both as a child of U.S. farms and gardens and as a student of permaculture gardeners in Ghana, Tanzania, and South Africa. Those are principles that she reflects in the online gardening classes she teaches, part of a free online gardening program called the Agri-Academy.
But also this year, I moved it to emphasize more the African connections to contemporary agriculture. So even talking about indigenous botanicals, because people don't even think about the fact that every plant has a home somewhere in the world. Just because we've been, you know, moving it around and whatever, I've adopted it and think it's ours. No, it doesn't happen.
Like the plants that Julia Lynn describes, her Bronzeville neighborhood reflects a history of thriving in spite of forced displacement. Bronzeville is the heart of African American culture in Columbus. Its history goes back to slavery, with a large, free, and self-emancipated Black population well before the Civil War. But Bronzeville really took off during the Great Migration, when thousands of Black people, including Julia Lynn Walker's maternal grandparents, migrated north, seeking some relief from the constant violence of Jim Crow.
My maternal lineage came here through the healthcare profession. Mm. And so there were 3 sisters in Atlanta, and they were encouraged to come to Columbus by a doctor who opened the first African-American-owned hospital here in Columbus. And so 2 of them were nurses, and the third, and this was just typical of the era, again, early 1900s, the third came to make sure they didn't get into trouble. So, but she was the oldest.
Yeah.
She was a domestic worker. She dropped out with an elementary school education, mm-hmm. but she kept a home for her 2 younger sisters while they worked as nurses. Mm-hmm. All right. So, and that was the pattern for a number of people.
Columbus's relatively widespread and affluent Black communities led to a vibrant commercial and cultural identity and a strong sense of solidarity from the start. There were Black neighborhoods spread all around Columbus, but Bronzeville on the Near East Side was the center. The neighborhood's heart is Mount Vernon Avenue, where in the early 20th century, shoppers could get everything from baked goods to produce and meat to a barber shave and a big band show, all within walking distance. The neighborhood even elected its own separate mayor and cabinet to build political power for and of the black community. That's the world into which Julia Lynn was born, the child of Linwood P. Walker and Anne B. Walker. And the Walkers raised their kids to experience the interconnections between self and community sovereignty.
My parents were very strong civil rights activists. You know, I never had a perfect attendance record at school because they would take us out for demonstrations, or they'd take us out to hear a speaker, or they would take us out to take a trip. They'd just say, no, we're going to take a family trip to so-and-so because this is a good idea at this time. And, you know, you'll catch up with your lessons.
Yeah.
You know? And so I understood early that part of life is a responsibility for others. That there is, yes, you're responsible for self, and certainly in the household, you know, we had to do, we had chores and, you know, etc. But also within the broader community, you had a responsibility to do whatever you could do.
Those chores that Julia Lynn mentions were often about growing and storing food.
My nuclear and extended family have always been involved in household sustainability with respect to food production. So we've always had a garden wherever we were. The extended family, there were farms outside of Columbus, both the east and the south side. My grandfather hunted. Come August, I would know, okay, before school, that means I got the can. And we're going to be sitting there cutting up stuff, you know, because the mother's going to go buy all this stuff. Because she's like, the shelves have to be filled. This is going to be peaches. It's going to be apples. It's going to be... And we're like, oh, that sounds like a lot of cutting. That's all we know.
In the 70s, Julia Lynn Walker launched a 40-year career in law and education that spanned the U.S. and Africa. After retiring, she returned to Bronzeville in the early 2010s. But it wasn't the neighborhood that she had left.
So it started with the 50s with Eisenhower and the interstate, and Columbus is the only city that has had three interstate highways go through its primary African-American community. And so you can imagine it was 71 first on the west, then 70 south, and then 670 on the north. Homes taken out, businesses, and then after the highways, then urban renewal soon followed. Mm-hmm. And in the cleaning, in the interest of cleaning up, mm-hmm. a lot of buildings were demolished, mm-hmm. and unfortunately left vacant. And it was very interesting coming back and actually going to live in Columbus. Mm-hmm. I didn't have a car for the first 3 months, so I just walked the community. And I was really astonished at the decline, at the lack of resources, and even though I knew and saw, but to actually live here now, say, okay, now how do you, you know, negotiate, how do you navigate, how do people function? Mm. And it's not possible.
Three highways, years of hostile urban planning, neglect, and deferred maintenance. It had all left Bronzeville without access to enough safe housing or to most of the necessities of daily life. The neighborhood's last full-service grocery store, the black-owned Carl L. Brown Food Liner, had closed more than a decade earlier.
So after about 6 months, I was horribly depressed. Mm. Horribly. Mm-hmm. And I just started tearing up whatever land I had access to. I was just started. People were like, okay, don't let her anywhere near your house because she's going to start talking about, don't you want a garden? So that was when we came here. This was literally just an overgrown field. And I cleared literally just this part right here and put in a dozen strawberry plants and some cabbages and, you know, whatnot. Mm-hmm. And that was fine. But then we said, but wait a minute, there's a broader community. And this is where we got into food sovereignty issues.
The Bethany Bronzeville Community Garden began growing fresh fruits and vegetables for a free lunch program started by Anne B. Walker, Julia Lynn's mother. Other programs followed, including the Bronzeville Urban Growers Association, the online Ag Academy to train new gardeners, and classes on financial sustainability for small urban farmers. 6 years ago, Julia Lynn gathered together some of the small urban farms of Columbus's Franklin County and started a farmers market as well.
And so this is our sixth season to operate a farmers market. And what we'll do is, you're going to get in my car and I'll take you around there.
Beautiful.
The Bronzeville Urban Growers Association, or BUGS for short, runs 6 community garden spaces throughout the Near East neighborhoods of King Lincoln Bronzeville, Mount Vernon, and Woodland Park. That's just a fraction of the 24 community gardens throughout the Near East. The gardens are all in walking distance of one another, but in deference to the summer heat and time constraints, we amble instead through a series of alleys in Julia Lynn's truck. We pass the Julia Lynn Walker Learning Gateway Garden at the King Arts Complex, as well as the backyard gardens of Julia Lynn's friends and students. We come to a stop in a beautiful space. Overflowing demonstration beds sit among shipping containers decorated with murals.
This is the Maroon Arts Group Box Park. And Maroon, referencing the African Americans who refused to be enslaved and escaped into the hinterland, the swamps, the mountains, whatever. Arts because they're creatives. And group because the South Brethren Corporation. And then we have our greenhouse, and then we've got the 5 beds here that we have as a demo garden. Mm-hmm. And then it's also the site for the Bronzeville Growers Market. And
we hop back in the car and visit the Mamie Mack Community Garden. Garden manager Angela Gibbs lives right next door to the space. She's growing kale, watermelon, corn, strawberries, squash, and 4 tiny puppies. They're so young that their eyes are barely open. Miss Angela has her family bring them out to put in Dr. Walker's hands.
Want the upstairs.
I want to see one.
You want to see
one? Oh my goodness, this is Nina visiting Hello. Baltimore. This
nice
is
to
Angela,
meet you.
Who's our garden manager.
Oh, wonderful.
While Julia Lynn holds the puppies, Miss Angela points to a 6-foot-tall stand of amaranth growing by the garden gate. She asks Julia Lynn about it. Amaranth is an indigenous American green that grows wild in gardens and sidewalk cracks all across the hemisphere. I watch this for a moment. Julia Lynn considers just telling Miss Angela to rip it out. And then she changes her mind.
It's a spinach. You can actually eat it. These seeds here, they actually produce a seed that you can turn into flour. Okay. So it is edible. And there are people who, if you brought them over here, would pay you well, like Pastor Alex.
They like them.
They love it.
Get out of here.
They love it.
Thank you for showing us the puppies. Miss Angela.
We've arrived at our last stop.
All right, so this is the lunch program.
The church basement where every Saturday for the last 17 years, Julia Lynn Walker's mother, Ann B. Walker, has been running a free lunch program for the community. The Bethany Bronzeville Gardens produce goes to this meal, and inside we find Julia Lynn's brother Keith, her 99-year-old mother, Miss Anne, and a dozen volunteers in the process of cleaning up after the meal. Thank you.
Management?
Congratulations.
Who's management?
Yeah, okay.
Huh? Who's management? I said second served after the 12.
Management is that woman over there.
Mrs. Walker. Oh, this is the ex-mayor of Bronzeville.
Yeah, I need to be the mayor of Bronzeville.
Bronzeville does still have its own mayor. A ceremony commemorated the 85th anniversary of the office back in 2022. Overall, the whole neighborhood is seen as up and coming these days. There are new businesses and families moving in. And yet, as in gentrifying neighborhoods across the country, the picture is complex. There's also skyrocketing housing prices and privatized developments pushing out historic residents. And the people here are once again being forced to pick up and move. Here in this church basement, Miss Ann B. Walker responds to the situation with this free lunch program. Incidentally, she also happens to have had a multi-decade career in journalism and to be the first Black woman to ever serve in a presidential cabinet. These days, at almost 100 years old, she organizes volunteers, clothing exchanges, free haircuts, and a health clinic, all from her wheelchair by the kitchen door. The program was a response to community need. Neighbors in the early 2000s were once again being displaced from their homes and networks of support.
I started a soup and sandwich kind of program. But those who came were asking for seconds and thirds and even fourths. Mm-hmm. So it made me realize that they needed a full meal. So we then developed a program for the homeless and the hungry. And the hungry are those who may be living by themselves. They have no family or very little family. And they needed that relationship of having a friend. And so when we set up the program, we said, you do not have to fill out any forms. Just come, eat, and then talk. And that's what has happened for 17 years. And city council just needs to do a little bit more about how they appropriate money and how they make decisions on spending it.
We head back to the Bethany Brownsville Community Garden, where my own truck is waiting. Before leaving, I spend an hour weeding and tying up tomatoes in the garden. And while I work, I think about the ways in which this Lenape and Shawnee land in Near East Columbus, Ohio, has nurtured its adopted community. In this place, where developers have again and again seen wasteland ripe for the taking, generations of Black organizers and growers have used food to nurture an ecosystem of community care. It makes me think about how back in the Maroon Arts Garden, Julia Lynn talked to me about a transformative moment, the first time she encountered African indigenous agricultural practices when she was working in Ghana.
Because again, I know the first time I went to Ghana and was taken to a farm, I was like, well, this is a hot mess, you know, because again, I was already corrupted by images of corporate monoculture. And so I was, when I looked at, you know, all this growing, I didn't understand that this was, I was really looking at living permaculture. So now people talk about, oh, agroforest, and I'm like, have you been to Africa? Have you checked out traditional growing conditions? That is an agroforest. That's exactly what was happening. So I think this is consistent with people understanding that, again, every part of the world has made a contribution to where we are today. So how do we recognize that, understand that, and acknowledge that? You know, and then move forward from there.
Many, many thanks to Julia Lynn Walker and her family for sharing this story. You can learn more about the AgriCademy at www.bronzevillegrowersmarket.com. If you'd like to support the free lunch program, you can visit the donations page at www.bethanycolumbus.com and select Community Lunch Program from the drop-down menu. Finally, I'd also like to thank the Columbus Landmarks Foundation and the Columbus Dispatch for a wealth of resources on the history of the Near East neighborhoods.
Radical Nourishment is a project from Food Culture Collective and Heal Food Alliance. At Food Culture Collective, we're transforming the story of food to help us collectively reorient to food as life source, compost legacies of harm, and grow a culture of care. Heal Food Alliance is a national, multi-sector, multiracial coalition building collective power to transform our food and farm systems. Radical Nourishment is produced by our Ears in the Field fellows, as well as Zach Rosen and me, Natasha Monnathau. It's edited by Zach Rosen. To learn more about today's story, visit the links in our show notes,